Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Basic Binges, part of Nonpoc Network. On this show, we review popular shows while eating and drinking our binge-worthy snacks and drinks. If you're watching live, don't forget to redeem those channel points. Please redeem them, but also don't, because sometimes you make me do things I don't want to do, but that's fine. Anyway, I'm your host, Jordan Orozco, and right now I'm enjoying some wonderful water that's on my nightstand because I've had a half 50-50 burger, which is like bacon and just meat, as well as some fries and some a couple of old fashions. But I would like to introduce my guests for the day. Let's start with Ada. Ada, what's going on? What are you nomming on? What are you drinking?
Hey guys, so I'm still on this big binge on Baja Blast. So Baja Blast and Doritos chips. So I've been having Cool Ranch and Baja Blast for as a midnight snack, late night snack for a while.
Oh my God, Taco Bell girl dinner. I love it. I love it. Baja Blast is amazing, by the way. It's
Yes.
awesome. And Jasmine, so good to see you. So glad you can join us. What are you sipping on, if anything? What are you eating?
So I just broke my fast. I'm Muslim, and I think this
Oh
is the first episode that is happening during the month of Ramadan because it's a lunar calendar based thing. And so
yes.
I'm so happy I was able to break my fast right before this. I have energy, and now I'm snacking. So I have one of my favorite things, which is Flamin' Hot
Yes.
Fritos. Super good. And then sometimes I get really spicy, and I have this like weird thing where I just crave all the things throughout the day when I'm fasting. So I got like the sweet part of my salty part, which is the Ferrero Rocher little
Ooh.
gold balls, my favorite. So yeah, that's what I have.
We love that. I used to dip Flamin' Hot Cheetos and sour cream when I was in high school, and it was the best freaking combination. But my mom used to get pissed off because I'd use like the house sour cream, and then she'd be like, "I have to buy another sour cream for everything else." So it was like it's just the best. It like cools the heat, but at the same time, it's like
It does.
I don't
I
know.
did
It's
it with
just
nacho
so good.
cheese, the Flamin' Hot
Yes.
fries and nacho cheese,
Yeah.
but like hot
Yes. Oh
nacho
my God.
cheese. That was the high school combo, and I tried doing that like recently, like a year ago, and I was like, that something's like I gonna stay in high
Yeah.
school. My tummy was like not happy.
No, I honestly prefer the fries over the Cheetos, and like
Yes.
now they have like Flamin' Hot popcorn. I'm like, okay, let's just stick to the fries and the Cheetos. Let's not get like let's just not expand on that.
But the
So,
popcorn's good too.
I mean, sure. I I'm not a huge fan of popcorn, so that's probably why. Just gets everywhere. It gets in your
I
teeth, and
like
it's not good.
some hot Cheeto crumble on my mac and cheese. It's actually really
Yes.
good.
Oh,
It's good.
have you had the Flaming Hot mac and cheese?
Yes, that one
It's
is like
so good.
intense.
It's
Yeah.
so good. Oh my God. Okay, so anyway, back to Aang instead of Chester Cheetah. Today, we are talking about the final two episodes of Netflix's Avatar: The Last Airbender, season one. But before we start, I'd still like to remind everybody we are still fundraising for the Trevor Project. If you don't know what the Trevor Project is, it is an organization that is dedicated to eradicating and eliminating youth suicide, LGBTQ youth suicide. It is available 24/7 if you are 18 and under, or if you feel like you are LGBTQ and you have no way out, please call the Trevor Project. They are there for you 100%. I know that their employees are and their staff is massive, and so they're there for you. Please donate to them. They are doing wonderful and amazing work. I know of some people and some students that I work with that I've used the Trevor Project and has literally saved their lives. So please donate to them if you can. They're an amazing, wonderful, awesome organization. So let's get into this. I know producer Steph said, let's focus on some other things that we're going to talk about with Avatar: The Last Airbender. So let's focus on like both of these episodes, sort of like in the first half hour, and then we can talk about like conspiracy theories, things that we've heard about, rumors, and like the last half hour. I'd love to do that. So in this first episode, it's called The North. We have Zuko who's leaving. Basically, it's that whole entire saga where we think Zuko has died because General Zhao made sure that his boat exploded, but in reality, Zuko is still alive well. But the thing that hit was that Uncle Iroh thought that Zuko was dead and he was very devastated. And then basically General Zhao reveals to Uncle Iroh his plans on basically eliminating the spirit in physical form in the world. And Uncle Iroh basically says, you can't mess with that. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. We're going to do it anyway. We have the gang that arrives at the Northern Water Tribe. And we sort of get greetings. We get, we see the tribe sort of interacting with the gang and all of that. We see, what's his name? Oh, we see Master Paku for the first time, right? And I was like, okay, I don't know about this. But we see all of these interactions going on when the gang arrives to the Northern Water Tribe. We see, and then we switch to Azula, who is now trying to prove herself to her dad that she is worthy of going out or worthy of being, a warrior. And basically, her friends, like before, tell her that, like, her father's playing games with her. And then finally, Azula's like, no, I'm not going to play your games anymore. And her father's like, no, yes, you are. Like, you're going to do that. And then basically, we see our first iteration of lightning happening in this episode, which is so cool. I thought it was a little melodramatic. I thought it was a little like downplayed. It wasn't as extravagant as we see in the animated series, but nonetheless, we see Azula sort of conjuring lightning, and then Fire Lord's Ozai is like, okay, fine, you're ready. And then yes, so we see Master Paku. We get introduced to him. We see Katara sort of being like, cool, I'd like to learn everything that you know. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then basically sends Katara to the healing hut, where basically she learns that women in the Northern Water Tribe are not allowed to learn fighting styles or fighting water bending. And she sort of gets pissed off and she's like, what's going on? All that stuff. And then we sort of had our first interaction with Yue when the gang arrives to the Northern Water Tribe. Sokka has that moment with Yue in the kitchen where they sort of talk and they sort of start to, interact with one another. Aang basically is told that he needs to have a talk with Avatar Kuruk and goes to Avatar Kuruk's statue, has a talk with him, which this didn't happen in the anime, which I was very surprised that this happened in this. And then basically Kuruk is like, you can't do shit, like you ain't shit, like, and I was like, oh my God, please. And so like that whole thing was kind of weird. And then oh yeah, Azula channels lightning. Sorry, I'm like going off on my notes and I'm like, oh, what happened? And then we have the infamous battle between Katara and Master Paku, where there were some things that we could kind of see from the animated edition of Avatar, where you see like the ice disc pass him and he's like, ooh, right? I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it was funny. But overall, it was a little downplayed. I didn't feel like Katara was giving her all. I didn't feel like Master Paku was being as condescending as he could be. And then we sort of get this ending where like the Fire Nation is coming after the Northern Water Tribe and all that stuff. So that was the second to last episode of the North. What did we think about this? Let's go to you, Jasmine. What did you think overall about the story that happened between here? What were some of the amazing things that happened, and what were some of the downfalls of this episode?
So I love Azula. I said this in the beginning, I will never stop loving. She is a very complex character, and we finally get to see that like viciousness in her, and we get to see finally, so like that episode of the Northern Water Tribe I think is very important for many reasons, and I'm really glad that in the anime series, so I'm really glad that they decided to adapt it for the live action. I would have been very upset if they decided to skip that. There is a lot of growth that happens for all the characters, and they hit this like it's crazy, you know what? It's Aang, Sokka. We finally get to see his personality more, and his interactions with Yue. We could see him struggling, but we get to see that charming, you know, ness of Sokka. Katara finally. Oh my God, she was giving Sakura from Naruto vibes, and if you know, you know. Sakura is one of the three in Naruto. So everybody knows Naruto, the main character, Sasuke, and she's the third one because it's all always a team of three. It's team seven. And she did nothing for like the entire series. And you're like, hello, can you Can you like poke at him? Can you move? Can you do something? And so we finally got to see Katara's resilience come up with yeah, I'm not gonna stand by and be a healer. I don't think so. You know, which, you know, from the direction of things, really felt like she was gonna go that way. And so we got to see that growth in her. I'm so proud and happy to see that, and Zuko as well. And so I like this episode. I did want more of a punch. I think we got a really good punch with Katara's fighting Paku, and I did expect Paku, like, for some reason Netflix is like scared of showing men to be pieces of shit when they are, you know, like just come out with it, be bold about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, the only person who's giving that energy right now is Fire Lord Ozai, and so he's the one that we're like, wow, you're kind of a jerk. Yes, he is, right? But so is Paku, and so is Zuko in the beginning as well, right? So I want to see more of that attitude. I want to hate you, and so for that, I actually am pleasantly surprised with what they did with Zhao, General Zhao, and we'll see more of him in the next one. But he's getting that attitude. You're like conflicted. You're like, do I like you? Do I not like you? You know, like, at first he was friendly, and now he's just like, you know, doing crazy things. Yeah. And then my favorite, as always, is Uncle Iroh, and his infinite wisdom. So, yeah, I think like the first and last episode, they're a continuation, right? If I remember correctly. The second episode was the rest of the Northern Tribe episode. Okay, so yeah, I'm kind of melding it in my mind, and I don't want to spoil that last episode. But yeah, I liked it. It was all right. It was good. I'm here for Katara. I'm always here for a woman reclaiming and owning her badassery. So there's that.
And I kind of like how they did the last two episodes because that's what they did in the cartoon and the anime, right? Where it was like the Northern Water Tribe part one, and then it was like the Northern Water Tribe part two. And we get these two dynamics almost like similarly in these last two episodes, which I'm kind of glad that we got that dynamic because there's so much going on, right? Like we have like all this going on. I do agree that okay, so one of the things that you reminded me while talking is we never saw the connection between Grand Grand and Master Paku. And that was one of the big things that like I took away from like the first season of Avatar was like, oh, Master Paku and Grand Grand got something going on. And like we didn't get that. And that's when Paku goes a little bit soft with Katara after finding out that like Katara is like Grand Grand's like grandchild, right? Like we don't get that. And I feel like Master Paku was super, super docile in this, right? Like he was like, oh, okay, well you do this. But also he was like kind like it kind of gave an air of like supportiveness from the jump from him. And I was like, that's not how he appears, and that's not why he's
Just,
there.
yep. Just be the chauvinist you are. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just come out. Be it.
And I do agree with you. There's this like hesitancy to be like, oh, this guy is, he's a bad guy. And I'm like, just be the character. Like it's not a big deal. Ada, let's go to you. What did you think about this first episode? What did you think about what went on?
The whole fight scene with Katara was great. If anything, from every single episode, I've enjoyed the graphics, all the CG. I think that them showing how the elements would look if someone were to go and actually use their bending powers, I feel like that's been like the best thing I've seen consistent throughout every single episode. I just found it kind of okay for this episode, only because when they're showing specific things, like when you're talking about like with Paku, I don't think Grand Grand really alluded to talking about the Northern Tribe as much when you first met her in the live action series. So there would have been a kind of like a weird disconnect when she goes up there, and then he's like, "Oh, you're so and so's granddaughter." Would he have acted differently? Like if you were to like jump right into that right then and there, then people would be like, "Wait a minute, what did I miss?" Because I don't think they even mentioned that in the live series. I know in the animated show, yes, but not in the live action. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was, I think, so in the cartoon, it was the necklace that Gran Gran
Yes.
had given Katara, and there was, and she's still wearing the necklace while she's fighting, but there was no, like, that was the hint that she was related to Gran Gran, and then Paku was like, oh, but yeah, you're right. There was no like lead in to that.
And then maybe it's just me, but with Zula, does it seem like she's always like on the verge of crying? Because whenever they get like a close-up version, like shot of her face, she looks like she's about to cry, like she's about to have like some sort of like tantrum. And I don't see that as a Zula. I thought she's like this very bold, strong, you know, very stubborn girl, but she just seems like she kind of like whimpers whenever she's not looking at her father, saying like, I want to be this person, I want to be this great warrior. Yet she shows that she's always like wanting to cry.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. The lightning, I like. The lightning's great. I just wish I got more badass out of Azula.
Yeah.
That they gave the same energy that they gave to Katara to Azula at the same point when she was fighting and you saw the spark of lightning. I think that would have been better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's definitely an element of fury that I'm missing from Azula, because when we're first introduced to Azula in Avatar: The Last Airbender, the anime, it's almost like, oh shit, like, oh my God, what's going on here? And then it leads into that whole spot, like downward spiral of her mental state, right? Like that downward spiral of the one episode that I do remember that was just so powerful that made me feel for her, which I hate feeling for like villains, but like for her, was when she was in the mirror and she was like cutting her hair and her mom was talking to her in the mirror, right? Like that was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, she's fully lost it, but at the same time, like I can feel this empathy towards this character where she's like, she doesn't have that docile, empathetic like energy in her life anymore. All she has is her dad, who's like this like piece of shit who wants to take over the world, who like doesn't care about anybody's feelings, who's like, yeah, fuck you, like I'm just gonna rule. And so I don't get that in this Azula. And maybe this is their way of being like, well, it's building up, but you're right. Like I don't feel empathy for this Azula. I'm like, what are you doing? Like
Like
you're it's
I don't get a thrill with
yeah.
her,
Yeah.
right?
Versus like the cartoon Azula where I'm like, oh, this bitch, like I don't wanna mess with her. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Yeah. And so I feel like this episode overall, like it told us that it introduced us to what's going to come, right? And so we transition over to the last episode, which was hella intense, called Legends, right? Where basically General Zhao basically unleashes the Fire Nation onto the Northern Water Tribe. We get all of this stuff happening. We find out that Prince Zuko is alive and well. And lets people, and then basically tells Uncle Iroh, like, I'm gonna go secretly, I'm gonna get the Avatar. So he goes out, and we know that he goes sort of around the battle to the back of like an iceberg to try and like infiltrate. General Zhao, like, basically, oh, I said this in the last one, basically unveils that he's gonna destroy the moon spirit in order for the waterbenders to not have any power. And Uncle Iroh's like, no, don't do that, like, that's a bad idea. And he's like, well, I don't fucking care, like, whatever. And then we sort of get the attack to happen. In this episode, we have a lot of things going on. We have Princess Yue basically like following Sokka around and is like, oh yeah, like I'll help you, like let's go here. And then I don't know, I don't remember this happening in the cartoon, but basically during the battle, Momo gets like killed or like gets severely injured. And then that's what prompts Yue to go to the where the spirits are. Did that happen in the cartoon? I don't remember. It didn't, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So I thought, What I thought happened was the fish that had gotten killed by General Zhao, Yue had put her spirit back into that fish. And that's how the ocean spirit was like, oh, okay, cool. Everything's resolved, right? Like, am I wrong?
Yes.
Okay,
No,
cool.
that's exactly what happened.
So in this iteration, basically what happened is that General Zhao destroyed the moon spirit, but before that, Yue revived Momo, and then Momo was like, I'm cool, and then like flew off, and we're like, what the fuck's gonna happen? But then General Zhao basically destroys the moon spirit, and then all is lost because the waterbenders don't have power anymore. Then we see an Aang who's like, oh, I know what I need to do, which is the only part of this episode that pissed me off, where he was like, I basically have to like become the ocean spirit, but I can't come back for it. And I'm like, no, you can, because you're the avatar. I don't know why they're making it seem like you're not gonna like fucking come back from it. And I was like, no, don't do that. But from an outsider's perspective, I was like, it makes sense because if I don't know the cartoon, this might be the ultimate, like, oh, Aang's fucked. Like, he's gonna die. Like, he's sacrificing himself for a whole tribe. So I got it. I got it. But as a fan, at the end of the day, I was like, no, that's not how it works. And then, so basically, we see Aang becoming we see Aang melding with the ocean spirit. And basically, he's like, the ocean spirit's like, oh, I'm gonna fuck everybody up, right? We see, so we have that infamous battle between Katara and Zuko, where they sort of fight in that moment. And then, okay, sorry, correct me. Sokka comes to rescue Katara, correct? Or like something happens in this episode where, oh no, what happens is they're getting fucking bombarded by the Fire Nation, and then like that thing falls. They're both knocked unconscious, but then Katara gets up, she escapes, and all that stuff happens. But I did like this scene where her and Zuko have this moment, and then what I loved is that Katara sort of encased him in ice, and she goes and Zuko says his infamous line, oh, you found a master. And she was like, I am the master or whatever. And then like he broke out. It was cool. I was like, this is cool. Yes, fucking Katara, we love you. And then ultimately, long story short, Aang fucks everybody up, right? Like as the ocean spirit, he does this, he does that. Princess Yue basically gives her life to the fish, to the fish, and then sacrifices her life to become basically the moon spirit, which we didn't see in this, which I was also pissed off about. Sokka is devastated, and then all is right, in sort of like the Northern Water Tribe, even though everything is ruined. We see, oh, and I didn't even mention Princess Yue, her former like person that she was supposed to be engaged with dies, and Sokka sort of has that interaction with him throughout these last two episodes. And then basically, Aang is Aang survives, as we all know. He, says that he's gonna, go off and learn sort of all the other elements, and that Sokka and Katara, they're, friends and their family, they're gonna go off with him and do all that stuff. And then I think the last scene we see is Avatar, or sorry, is Fire Lord Ozai with the monks saying that Sojin's comet's gonna come by, which is a pivotal scene in Avatar the cartoon, and that basically at this time that's gonna be the Fire Nation's time to shine, and that's the last sort of scene that we get in this entire thing, which was cool. I thought the little like planetarium thing was a little cheesy. I was like, like could have done better, but it was cool to kind of see that and to kind of like lead into sort of the end of the season with that. What did we think about this? Let's go to you, Ada. What did you think about the last episode of Avatar called Legend?
I think it kind of wrapped up the first, I guess the first season pretty well, especially if it's for someone that's never seen or has any knowledge of Avatar. I think it's great. With someone that does have knowledge of Avatar, then maybe not so much, but it's still quite entertaining. I still found it very entertaining. There are still some parts where I felt when where they had twisted the story a bit, I don't think they should have. I really wish that they had kept the whole story plot where Yue was betrothed or was to be betrothed to that person. I can't remember his name. I'm like drawing a blank on people's names right now. And so you can see that tension between Sokka and him, and seeing that triangle forming. And then you can kind of see like why Yue and Sokka really like each other, or why Yue really likes Sokka, because he's completely different than the person that she's supposed to be, engaged to. I was really hoping to see that, but they really softened the blow, seeing like, oh, I was, but I said no, and they're just good friends. And then when he dies, it's just kind of like, okay, he's dead now. The water spirit, I thought it was pretty cool. Looked way cooler in CG than it was in the cartoon, which was really great. But I mean, and then with Zhao, like he overall they found a really great person to play General Zhao. Like you just look at him and you know, oh, he's the bad guy. And he plays the bad guy very well. And so I really liked his kind of like his enemy arc up until the end of this series as well, of this season, I should say. But other than that, it's just I did like how Katara brought all of the women that were the healers to help fight. And you can see them fighting. You can see them actually putting their bending powers to good use rather than just to heal. Because when you think about it, they're healing and knowing where to flow water, they're able to go and do that with everything else, which I thought was freaking cool.
So the character that we're his name is Han.
Yes.
The guy that was betrothed to Yue before that. Yeah, you're right. Like there was a whole like Zuko being jealous and Zuko also kind of at the end respecting him because of like the warrior that he is. But also I did like the fact that like he asked Zuko like what are some of your techniques as a warrior up at down at the southern, water tribe. And Zuko was like, oh, you want to know about what I, and then like it like fed into like Zuko's e or sorry, to Sokka's ego and like all that stuff. And so it was, I did like that aspect of it. But yeah, it was there wasn't any, like detail into like Han and like Princess Yue at all. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. Let's go to Jasmine. Jasmine, what did you think about this episode? What did you think about everything that went on just to wrap everything up for season one?
Okay, so I think this episode was very impactful and the changes they made were very interesting. So there's a few other things that happened. So like we said, Princess Yue in the animated series was engaged to somebody and she was a bit useless in the animated series. They actually empowered her in this one, made her a waterbender. She wasn't a waterbender in the animated series. She was just this princess. And the story of her is that she was really sick as a baby. And I think they prayed to like the moon goddess or something like that, and she got better. But in order for her to get better, she had like somewhat of the god or goddess of moon embedded in her. So she switches places when the fish dies. I don't get the Momo attack. That really took me by surprise. I do want to like reflect on that. And I think they know that because I think in the Avatar series, we're so close to the animals. Like that one episode with Appa and in part two. Book two of the animated series when he gets kidnapped is like a very distraughtful, like it's everybody's like upset, so I think they're trying to elicit emotional reactions here. I mean Azula, like you guys are right, I did want to reflect on what you guys said for the last episode about her attitude. We're getting a backstory with her, so like in the animated series she just seems like a crazy, like see you next Tuesday, like holy crap dude, you are intense on another level, but and now we're seeing her dad be the source of the issue, which I do like. And I think it was really cool. We should note that they did a di so for the first time, I think this is the only time I'm gonna say it, but there was something good about the live action that the animated series lacked, and that was the introduction of like a kaiju. In terms of the fish monster, which is like a Koizilla, and that the idea of it running rampant without the moon, was like giving that extra oomph. So if you remember, without the moon, there's no tides, and the water benders lose their power to bend. So it gives the firebenders this advantage, right? Then on top of that, we have this additional added push. Remember what I said in the last episode we had, the last discussion we had. I feel like they treated this season as the one all be all, just in case it didn't get, the interaction that they wanted. They kind of wanted to finish it like a soft finish, right? So it's not a full blow finish, but it felt like a finish. And that's what they did with Korra, because with The Legend of Korra, they didn't know. Every season ended the series because they never had that guarantee that there was going to be a season after that. And so I felt like they kind of had some of this vibes for this season as well. So that's one positive thing. One negative thing, Zuko never got to kidnap Aang. So I didn't like that because in the animated series, he does get kidnapped. And it's not a big deal in the animated series. It's not like shown as an extra emphasis, but it is very interesting. Like, okay, Zuko finally got Aang to himself. What's gonna happen? So I thought, like, I was waiting for that. Maybe it's still gonna happen. I don't know, with the direction that they're going for season two and season three, which they got renewed for. So congrats to Avatar again for that. But yeah. It was a good finale to the season. And I think if you were not interested, or you had criticisms, or you had, you're worried about the series, I think at this point you can actually confidently say, okay, they are trying to do a good job, and I am enjoying it. Like, I see the fruits of their effort. There you go.
I think that this last episode, I think, was a good summary of like the like it encapsulated everything. It did what it needed to do. But like I said in the previous ones, like there was just something that was lacklustery about both of these episodes where I was like, cool, this stuff happened, but right, like we didn't get the visit to Ko because Aang needed to know who the spirits of like push and pull were, or who the ocean and moon spirits were. Like we didn't get that sort of magic that happened in the cartoon. We didn't get the magic of I just remember Zuko when Aang was in this when Aang was in the spirit state, he took Aang's body and like took him to a cave in the Arctic, right? And like then like Aang was lost in the spirit world and couldn't find his way back home, and that's where he met Hei, but like all this stuff, right? And then finally he made his way back home and then had that talk with Zuko. Or like we didn't get that. And I feel like that is what made these two episodes, especially in the Book of Water, memorable for me, right? Like we did get like the big ocean spirit, like. And I do appreciate like the kaiju effort into like, oh shit, like this dude's gonna like do some shit. Because when that happened in the cartoon, I was like, oh my God, they're fucked. Oh my God, what's going on? Right. And then eventually they are, right? Like that's how General Zhao gets killed, right? Like he gets like pommeled by the ocean spirit, and then all the fucking ships like get like right. And so we get that. And we sort of got that, but I was like, like what else, right? Like, and so for
We
me,
needed
like,
more. We needed like
yeah.
more to that, like more. Like with all these strong special effects, you're
Yeah.
waiting for that. Oh my God! Like, whoa! Like, where is that like punch of like, this is death and destruction. This
Yeah.
is darkness, and we need that darkness. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew it, like, you knew it was coming. But then when it came, you're like, okay, the moon's gone. Great. Right? Like it was just like, it was like, okay, like cool. But overall, I feel like if I was watching this as an outsider, I would have been like, cool. Like this is amazing. Like what's going on? Right? And like it would have been an introduction to sort of like the series. Sorry, River, the Nomtok cat is like staring at me because she was asleep in the closet. And now she's like, why are you talking? Anyway, Yeah, so I feel like these last two episodes were a good encapsulation of what's happened, what is happening, and then what's to come, like in the next episodes, right? I did want to reserve time to talk about some of the rumors that were going around in regards to the next series. So, as Jasmine stated, Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix has been renewed for seasons 2 and 3. Let's talk about maybe what we can expect from those seasons. I know for me, like, and we've also addressed this, I know all of you have sort of said this, but like there have been sort of elements of season two that have been introduced into season one, right? Like we've got like Toph has been introduced, and then all this stuff happens later, right? Like, so those things are like a question about what's going to happen between 2 and 3, right? Like, so I'm interested to hear about what's going on, or what do y'all think is going to happen in season 2 and 3. For me, I feel like there's going to be definitely an introduction to a bigger earthbender aspect of the series, definitely in season 2. I feel like we're going to get Toph introduced to us in season 2. And I definitely think that we're going to get more of that storyline between the Zuko-Aang friendship, right? Like how that sort of morphs into the actual ending Avatar gang that we know and we love as we see here, right? Like with like everybody in the back. Ada, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen in season 2? What do you think is going to happen in season 3?
Here's the thing, I haven't been really paying attention to any rumors for the series. So if
Oh.
there are any, then cool. But the only thing that I've ever heard about was that there was going to be a season 2 and 3, that they were locked in for season 2 and 3. And I was really excited. I'm just thinking that season 2 is going to be very Earth Kingdom heavy.
Yeah.
And then I don't think you're going to see the bond between Aang and Zuko until maybe the third season.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if they do it next season, it's going to feel rushed because there's so much content that they have to go ahead and cover before you get to that
Yeah.
point, right?
Yeah. No, I feel like that's true. I feel like they might try to introduce it into season two, maybe the latter part of season two, where they kind of did like a teaser spoiler, right? Like with like Sojin's comment with the Fire Nation in this one. Yeah, and it is a big push. I feel like I feel like the way that they're sort of setting up this series where they're like, I don't think they care about what happened in book two or book three. I feel like there might be a meld of all this shit that's happening in season two, right? And then we get a season three where we might get introduced to Aang finally learning firebending with Zuko, right? With like the original, because Aang is the only avatar that gets taught all of the elements by the original freaking like people that animal or beings that knew how to manipulate the elements. So I feel like three is going to be about the dragons and learning about firebending, how Zuko loses his firebending because he, or even in season two, where Zuko loses his firebending because he's having this like ethical and moral struggle within himself. Who knows, right? Like, but that was my thing about this up with the season is like Wan Chi Tong was a huge part of them finding out that Shosen's comet was coming, and they can't have that. Well, maybe they can. But they can't have that with like them introduced to the library in the middle of the sand desert, right? So like, are they going to do that in season two, right? Like, are they going to bring back, right, like these spirits? Which is why I'm like, maybe there was a reason why they introduced Wong Chi Tong as early as they did, right? So that way they can make it more familiar for season two. Jasmine, what do you think about the renewal of season two, season three? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, first of all, I do want to say the way that it was announced was really cute.
Yeah.
And having Daniel Dae Kim, is that his name? Yes. Daniel Daddy Kim.
Yeah. Daddy Day Cam.
Exactly. So the way he announced it was perfect, and I couldn't think of a better person to do it. So it's really cute, and big congratulations to the Avatar crew for that. It's actually most of the conversations online because I am very much into anime. If you guys remember, recall the last live action, the two last live actions were both animes. And they're both are kind of like, well,
What's going to happen to Yu Hakusho, and more loudly, what's going to happen to One Piece? Because One Piece was a hit, and both of those were impacted by the strikes that were happening, SAG. And so we haven't heard anything about them, and I think that's the only conversations that we've really had. I know there was like some clickbait article, how it was horrible. There was a clickbait article that I almost fell for, but I was like, no way, that's way too clickbaity. And it was about that out. And I'm like, no way. So my only concern is,
Why?
that was a clickbait article. I know, because it's because they know they're gonna get the people because Avatar, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I'm nervous and I'm really hoping that is exactly clickbait because I almost semi believed in. The only reason why I did is because of there's been some pretty extreme changes. Like Sokka's personality was definitely like he's like the glue of the group. You know, he's the one non-bender, but he's like the one where you just love it. Like love, you know, and you're like you have it's just it's Sokka. He's the goofy one. He's like the bright ray of sunlight on a cloudy day. And they took away part of that. And again, he's a kid. They're all kids. And I'm really wondering how they're gonna go forth. And there's a couple things I'm actually concerned about because Aang and Katara are a thing, you know, and they are supposed to be slowly hinting at it. But then when they were showing, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but they were showing the audition tapes for Avatar, and they were like all the actors were sitting together in a room watching their audition tapes together and you know, poking fun at each other. It was very cute, very wholesome. Gordon, the actor for Aang, is very, very young, and Katara's actor is older, and just by a few years, so it's not that big of a deal for people like us, you know, in our late 20s or our 30s or 40s or however the age range is, you know, but like under 18, 3 years is like the difference of 10 years, you know. It's like it is intense when you know, and so you're having like a 10, 11-year-old and a 14-year-old, that's like fifth grade and eighth grade or ninth grade. Huge difference, right? So I'm really wondering how they're going to, you know, do that. And I'm really trying to understand and see if they're if Aang is going to be a little more mature, because this is the part that's the darkness we were discussing that creates maturity in his character, right? Otherwise, Aang is like, you know, the yippee-go-lucky, you know, character. So we'll see. I'm very nervous and very anxious because Toph is my favorite, and I really hope they do her right. She is such a fantastic, beautiful, amazing role model, awesome character. And like you said, the library scene was a big hit. Really, really wondering how that, you know, they got to get creative. And at this point, you know, the creators for Avatar were on to a certain point in the live action, but they walked out. And I don't think what's going to happen for episode, I mean, season two and season three, where they have no stay in it whatsoever because they're gone. So a little nervous. Yeah.
I'm nervous. Well, I'm nervous for a couple of reasons, but I'm nervous because I don't know how they're gonna like mind meld season two and season three. Like, I don't know if like I don't know, because after this season I'm like, okay, cool, like I had a little fun, but also there's so many inconsistencies that I'm like, I'm not sure that I'm gonna be fully invested in season two and season three, because I just there's no order. It's all like, okay, we're just gonna do what we need to do for each episode. And I'm like, no, like that doesn't make sense to me, right? And so I'm kind of nervous for that. The other thing is, yeah, they're gonna have to carefully sort of coordinate how they do each episode, because they've already introduced us to things that we have seen in season two, and how are they going to bring those back into sort of like this fold that they've already done, right? There's also rumors, and producer Steph introduced me to this. There's rumors that they may replace the actresses of Azula and Katara for the remainder of the series. I think that's a big mistake. I think that they need to recast Sokka, number one, because there's a lot of issues regarding the character's indigenous past, right? Like, and there's a lot of, yeah. Yeah, and like for the viewers, like you could research it, and there's a lot of issues regarding that. Everybody else that was sort of Southern Water Tribe and Northern Water Tribe that we got introduced to was some type of Native American or indigenous identified individuals, and Sokka's PR team handled that extremely terribly. And so I would rather see that, right? Also, side note, did you know that originally Toph was supposed to be this like big buff earthbender that they were going to introduce? Like, this is in the cartoon. So before it was a small blind like little girl, it was supposed to be this like big buff earthbender man. Almost like Bolin in Legend of
I
Katara,
was about to
who,
say Bolin. Yeah,
yes. Oh
exactly.
my God. Oh my God.
I love
If I met a Bolin, it'd be over. Like, we're getting
Bolin.
married. Oh my
Same.
God. He
Same.
was
Because
so,
mock
no.
Cupid. Yeah.
Yeah. He was so fucking fine. And I'm like, you're goofy. You know how to earthbend. Like, okay. Anyway, off topic. But that was
A
supposed to be
little
the,
thick,
what,
yes.
all the thick. Let's be real. Yeah. And like, I was like, absolutely. Like, but when I heard that, I was like, no, I'm glad that the original show directors went in the direction that they did, where it was like this high class little girl who knew how to earthbend from the freaking moles in the
Badger
mountain,
holes.
right? Yeah, badger moles, and like became friends with them and then learned how to be the most incredible earthbender, the best earthbender on the entire planet, right? Like on this planet that we see.
Where else do we have a person who's disabled so powerful? Where else do we have that representation at
Right.
all?
We
Yeah.
don't. We don't.
We don't.
And this is what I love about Avatar is that you see representation throughout this, but it is not explicitly like it's almost like we accept it by watching it. It's not even like you have to accept this because it is this, right? We see
Right.
disabled people, we see people of color, we see indigenous people, we see AAPI individuals, we see white, black. We see every individual in this cartoon series, and that is what I loved about it, is the fact that like I didn't even need to think about it in order for me to accept it, in order for me to watch it, and in order for me to be like, this is the fucking best show on the planet. Every episode of the cartoon had a lesson to learn at every peak of the like that episode, and that's what I love. That's what I like cherished about it, and that's why it's so rewatchable, right? Because like at any stage of your life, you could be going through trauma, you could be going through sadness, you can be going through the best time of your life, and you will find a piece of each episode where you're like, I can relate to that. Even like regardless of what ethnicity, regardless of what you're going through. And that's what I appreciated about the cartoon in general. I feel like this live action series still has to live up to that, because I didn't really see myself, or I didn't see certain aspects of who I am or who the cartoon was in it. That doesn't mean it's not good, but it doesn't mean that the show doesn't have work to do. And I feel like if they're going to do season two and season three, they're going to need to sort of do that for a global audience that's going to need to digest what's going on in this entire series. And so I don't, I don't feel like Azula needs to be recasted. Honestly, I don't feel like anybody needs to be recasted, including Sokka. I just feel like the direction, and I feel like the way that the characters are told to be portrayed needs to change. I feel like whoever comes on in season two and season three, they need to make sure that they tell the characters, be authentic to yourself and be authentic to the character. I feel like that might fix 85% of the things that we've talked about in this entire series. And that's just my opinion. I don't know. Who am I? I don't fucking act or direct or do anything, right? Like, who am I? But I feel like it's a major aspect into, how it would make this show better, right? Let's talk. So we're reaching sort of like the coat end or the or coat end, the tail end of like this entire thing. Let's talk about last minute thoughts. Let's talk about your future thoughts about what's going to happen to this. Let's start with you, Jackson.
Yeah, I'm Toph's my favorite character. That's what I wanted. I'm glad that they didn't. I'm really happy that they didn't try to push her into season one some way somehow, because they did take a lot of things from book two, where she's introduced. I'm anxiously excited for her arrival. I'm really happy that Avatar did get renewed. It was very easy for them to have botched it. Each one of these episodes are about, I feel like I sneeze, are about $20 million, and
Damn.
the CGI absolutely blew it out of the water. I had no issues, and that's like the stuff I was worried about. I was worried that I was like, oh, it's gonna be bad, you know, like, it's how are they gonna keep up with bending every
Yeah.
single episode? And yet they did that, and so props are where props due, you know, give them their flowers, they earned it. And I really hope that they take the criticism, they hear us, similar to what we did we as like the nerd fans, whatever, did with Sonic. We gave them feedback and we're like, hey, you know, you're missing some things. And they redid it and it was a big smash success. So I'm really hoping that they take the feedback from the Avatar fans, from us, you know, they hear us out, they go, okay, we hear you. We're gonna do this and this and this. And you know, luckily enough, this is season one. There is so much growth that these characters can have. I agree with you. I don't think anybody needs to be changed out. I'm really, you know, I think each one of them has a lot of potential. Some of them have already smashed it out of the park. Zhao, Iroh, Zuko, getting there because I want to see the growth, you know. Ozai, they're killing it. But I want to see them really grow, and I really hope they have the ability to save the series. And so I look forward to season two and season three.
Yeah, absolutely. Ada, let's go to you. What do you think about the future of this series? What do you think about what's going to happen to Avatar: The Last Airbender?
I'm just gonna keep an open mind. Like I said, I didn't know about any of the rumors other than just them green lighting for season two and season three. I'm just gonna just kind of just wait until I start seeing trailers for the second season, and then I'll go ahead and start making my judgments from there. Because it's gonna be a long time since we actually see anything for season two. I do hope that there's better direction for the characters.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the little nuances that we like about the characters from the animated series is not shown. It's not present in the live action. Like, I was hoping to see a really quirky and bubbly, you know, Sokka, and I just got straight serious big brother vibes from him. But yeah, like I said, just gonna kind of just keep everything out in the open, just a free mind, and to see what, you know, the producers provide us, what the editors provide us with the trailer.
Yeah. I definitely want to see it. If it were me, hey, Avatar: Last Airbender, tag man. If it were me, I'd like to see a huge change in Azula's character. I'd like to see a huge change in Sokka's character. A slight change in Katara and a slight change in Aang. Honestly, I feel like Aang's like the actor that played Aang did the best that he could with the direction that he was given. I would like to see a little bit more of like a adolescence, a little bit more of like a cool, like what's going on, and then be like having to be forced to grow up in a world where he's not used to, but also is told that he needs to like almost like mature, right? Even though he's like what, like 8, right? And so I would need to see more of that. Also, I need to see more of a genuine rage from Zuko, right? Like I need to see the behemoth, like the behemoth like rage that we got in sort of like the original, in the original character. And I need to see a little bit more quirkiness from Uncle Iroh. Like he was good, and I love the actor, right? Like, but I need to see more. I think there's just more. The mute button needs to be unmuted, and I feel like these characters need to develop the way that they need to develop. And maybe that's going to be a change in season two and season three, right? Like maybe we'll see sort of that that transformation within that. And that's definitely what I would like to see in all of that. So to everyone that's here, that's all the time we have to talk about season one of Avatar: The Last Airbender. Shout out to my guests, Ada and Jasmine. Also, Eric, who couldn't make it because you were definitely somebody that. Mom, you can close my door if you want. That was sorry. Eric was somebody that was that contributed. That was in here that did all that. So thank you all for coming. But definitely, Ada and Jasmine, thank you so much for joining me on this last venture into The Last Airbender. Let's let everybody know where we can find you. So, Ada, where can we find you on the socials?
Find me on Instagram. I'm at Bad Lil Emmy. You can find me there. Watch my funny resharing of stories on my posts and me obsessing over coffee, which is what I do every single day.
Love that. I love that. Love that. And Jasmine, where can we find you on these socials or anywhere else?
It's Jasmine Joestar everywhere. And yeah, like literally everywhere. So please come by and let's talk Avatar anytime. And I hope to see you guys next time. I'm seated for season two, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it. I love it. Yes, and please follow these wonderful, amazing individuals. They are doing way more than I am. You can follow me on City of Stars 13. I sometimes post funny stories. I need to be better about that, but that's where you can find me. Thank you all again for tuning in. Be sure to join our Discord to keep the conversation going, as well as subscribing to all platforms at Nom Talk Network, right? So tune into our next show, which is going to be 2024's Roadhouse on Monday. But until then, I'm your host, Jordan, and I hope you all have a nom-rific evening. I'll see y'all later.